verse number 1. If you're willing and able, one last time stand. We pay honor to God's word. Verse 1, I'll read it and you follow along there in your Bible on your app. And we'll go from there. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman who was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek. This was, in their mind, a mixed race marriage, and a believing mother, and best we can tell, an unbelieving father. The he there is who we call the Apostle Paul. He's been making missionary journeys. He comes, he finds this believing young man, and says, "Hey, I'm going to help you and encourage you, and if you would, disciple you in the faith." Verse 2, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. These are cities there and counties that we don't catch a whole lot of, because it would be like telling someone from Idaho or Utah, "Hey, I'm in Knox County, but I'm heading over to Loudoun City, and I'm going to go from there to Lenore City, to Littens," or something like that. Verse 3, "Him would Paul have go forth with him, and took and circumcised, made him acceptable to the Jews, because of the Jews which were in the quarters, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As he went through the cities, they delivered them decrees for to keep that were ordained to the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem." So he's going through and he's saying, "Hey, this is something that's been sanctioned here kind of by the other churches. We're not just out here being rogue. We're doing this with the full blessing and the full support." Verse 5, "And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in their number daily." If anybody asks me, say, "Preacher, what would you love to see accomplished right here? Daily, weekly growth, conversions, people following Christ in baptism, change lives." Verse 6, "Now when they gone through Phrygia and regions of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia." Don't do this. It's a good thing, but don't go here. Verse 7, "After they were come to Mysia, they wanted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not." And they are listening to what God is saying. "And as they were passing by, Mysia came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. And there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, 'Come over into Macedonia and help us.'" I want to go here. Nope. I want to go here. Nope. He's there, and he strongly understands. Go here. "And after he'd seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to," here's those last words, "preach the gospel unto them." Would you say the three words there? Preach the gospel. One more time, preach the gospel. You can be seated. And that's what we want to talk about this morning, preach the gospel. Let's pray together. Father, from front to back and left to right, those that'll watch and participate online later, those medically unable to be with us, or it's not wise for them to be with us because of their physical state, Lord, I pray that you'd help them. For those who are watching and this is their first experience, this is the front door, I pray that they would hear our heart, and more than that, they'd understand the scripture. And God, you would speak to us in a tremendous way. Lord, we need you this morning. We need you more than we can ascertain. We need you more than we can adequately say. And so I pray you'd help us. And Father, I pray you'd use me and hide me behind your cross. Father, I love you and I need you. I pray all this in your son's wonderful name. And amen. Amen. How many of you remember where you were 7 years ago? Anybody remember what you were doing 7 years ago? A few of you. How many of you remember where you were 7 days ago? Or 7 weeks ago, 7 months ago? It is an odd question. For us, it's not too odd of a question. We're pretty confident what we were doing 7 years ago. 7 years ago, we were moving from where we had been for quite some time, surrounded by tearful, loving people, to move to a place we didn't know hardly anything about. We were moving from about an hour east of Raleigh, North Carolina. We were moving here. Hysterically, it was a dark and a stormy night, like every murder mystery trope you've ever read. And we were moving here. We were absolutely, positively convinced, or I was, that this is where we needed to go. where we needed to go. My children had confirmation we needed to go here because there was a Panda Express. And they had duck orange sauce. And they said, anywhere that has a Panda Express must be from God. And that was 7 years younger. And Mondra and I, for the first time in quite a while, were on a little bit different pages. I listen to how God leads my wife. I know I'm responsible as a leader in our home, but I was more than a little nervous. She wasn't as hepped up on it as I was. Because 99 times out of 125 years of marriage, when we've disagreed, she's ended up being correct, and I've ended up cleaning up my mess. And to put everybody there, we traveled. We got here. We had a couple of fellows come down to help us load up. If you've been in my study, a good chunk of the thing was full of books. And to move us here, and oddly enough, they were going to come, and we were going to do it, and then they're like, we're just going to take the truck on back, and no problem, we would get there and unload. My stepfather had fallen, was in ICU, bounced in and out. He would pass away 10 days after we got here, which was yesterday. And we would turn around and go back home. He took a turn for the worse as we were traveling in. As we were traveling in, I almost turned around because I thought he was going to pass right then. And we were in two vehicles, and we ended up getting here. We got here in great sadness, great heaviness. And again, we would turn around and go back to North Carolina in 10 days, get there about an hour and a half before he would pass. And we've moved in. We're moving in. Folks that got here, and they were excited somewhere. The wires got crossed, and they said, okay, well, they're coming. No, they're coming later. And they said, well, we're here. We want to help them. And so a home we'd never seen because he was ill. We never got up here to check out any homes. And so the church had suggested a place to rent in an area we'd never heard of, Carnes, beside a grocery chain we were unfamiliar with, Ingles, and said it's a good place. We went, we hope. And so we moved here and moved to a home. And everybody was in a big way, and they said, we'll just unload their furniture for them. And we went, okie dokie, because we didn't have any choice, to be honest with you. And so Joe kept going, this is nice. And we got there, and there was a lot of things missing, Joe. And I'm teasing. And we got here, and man, the furniture's spread out, and the beds are put together, and all these kind of things. So one of the fellas was doing it. He was trying to measure the rooms because he didn't want the kids' rooms to be much bigger than the other. And so he sent me measurements. He said, the kids' rooms are the same size. I went, that'll be important. Thank you. He said, I got kids, I understand. And we got here, man, just something. We got here again, great heaviness, stormy night. Finally found our way here and walked in. First time we'd ever been inside the building we would call home for the next several years. And we got there, and we just, all we could do is cry. Our hearts were broken. We were completely turned around, didn't know where we were. We had older phones, the GPS quit work, wouldn't do, and in the mountains and all that. And so we got lost so many times. And we got here and got going. 7 years ago, 2 years ago. 2 years ago today, and 2 years ago today, I did what I have never done before. I had to tell everybody in the crowd that I was really, really sick. And not only really, really sick, but very gently trying to get everybody ready, you're gonna have another pastor very quickly if something doesn't change. And nobody heard that except for me. I had already called and gotten a consultant. I had reached out and was doing my dead level best to make sure I had everything in order here for a very smooth transition. Because for the last 4 days, all I had gotten was unbelievably bad news. And unbelievably sick, and had 3 points where my illness was trying to take me out aside from everything else that was going on. And so for someone said, how was 2020 for you? I went, different. and you know, everything we had going on, and then COVID on top of that, and then, as I have joked repeatedly, you know, at election time, I just still can't believe that Kanye didn't win. And so some of you that elections and politics mean everything, I'm really having a little fun. And so I thought just for a moment, maybe we just pause and thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Paul here is saying, I want to serve the Lord. I get that. He's saying, I want to go here. And God says, no, no, no. And he says, I want to go over here. And he says, no, no, no. And then all of a sudden he goes, why don't you go over here? And he says, okie dokie. If you keep reading in chapter 16, he no quicker gets there than it's tremendous opposition. He ends up in jail. How'd you like to think that? Serve Jesus and go to jail. Maybe you think we'd have a big sign up on the list back there, right? Serve Jesus and be beaten. Serve Jesus and do this. Serve Jesus and have problems. By the way, that's not what they say on TV, and that's not what they say, in the band with the Blessing Places and the Smoke Machine. That's what they're tempted not to say because it doesn't sell. Serve Jesus and have hardship, I offer you Acts 16. And that's exactly what happens. He's in the exact right place, and all of a sudden everything goes sideways. He gets there, man, there's no men, there's only ladies. In other words, there's not enough men who have enough Judaism about them to even have a synagogue. And the ladies have nowhere to meet, and so they're meeting down by the water. Again, no deference to men or women, that's just... This is just how irreligious these people are. And he doesn't start with a bunch of believing Jews. He starts with a bunch of folks, man, who keep naming their children after the gods and goddesses. You're lucky and you're good fortune. And you're this over here. And this is how he starts. He starts, man, everything is kind of sideways. I tried to pause. We moved here on the 11th. We told everybody here last year, 2 years ago. And if you'll allow me to be a little more personal, I feel strongly, but I think it's helpful. Say, preacher, get it out of the way. I keep getting stable scans, and we are very thankful. But the reality is I'm just like any of you, and life can change on a dime. And so that's okay too. So I'm going to live for Jesus today and let tomorrow worry about tomorrow. How's that sound for a plan? Amen? And we'll go from there. But with that said, I want to thank you. I wrote down a few things. And so let me just offer them to you. I'm thankful God led our family to Knoxville. I'm thankful. I knew we had arrived when we were eating up at the Japanese place whose name I can never think of. Makata. I knew we had arrived when somebody at Makata came by and said, are you Pastor Rodney? And I went, maybe. And they said, my grandmother goes to your church. I went, how in the world do you know what I look like? And she's got a picture of you on her fridge, which is about right. And I said, that's good. And I told her, we've been here 4 months. I said, this is it. This is it. County of 500,000 people, 300,000 in the town. We finally met somebody outside the church who knows us. We have made it. We have made it. And God started just doing neat things. God started allowing some hardships. And never in my life would I thought, man, some things. Never I thought everybody wouldn't make the journey with us. I thought everybody was here when we got here, and boy, some folks passed, and then some folks moved, and just, you know, and you love people, and they move. That's the twin edge of that, right? You love people, and they move away, and your heart hurts because you don't see them all the time anymore, but you still love them, and you know you'll be reunited with them one day. But well, that was difficult because we got here, and then you guys are our family. That's it. We don't live close to anybody. If we're sick, it's you. If we need something, it's you. If somebody's going to go to one of our kids' ball game, it's you. And so we're there. And then for 14 months trying to get everybody to know there was a church on the corner. So for 14 months, every time I talked to somebody, they said, there's not a church over there off of Reagan Road and Hardin Valley. I went, uh-huh. No, I don't think so. I was there Sunday. I'm pretty sure it's there. Pretty sure it's there. And they went, no, it's a funeral home. I said, well, the services aren't real lively, but that's an insult. And, man. We started cleaning up around their property, doing some maintenance and stuff. And by the way, if anybody needs any outside-the-box thinking, there's Roy over there. Great brain Roy, who figured out an answer to a problem yesterday. We started doing some stuff around, and the people up on the hill, they started calling and coming by and going, man, thank you. It's about time they hired a full-time maintenance guy. And I went, I don't know how to respond to that. And they said, well, thank you. It looks so good. And I said, well, I'm the pastor. They said, what are you doing out here working? I went, I don't know how to respond to that either. We had a family come, 7 folks. They've moved now. Kaney brought 7 people. He couldn't believe that the deacons and the preacher were outside working and sweating. He said, I got to come see this. He said, is it okay if I bring my 6 of my family? I said, yeah. I told myself, this is how much faith I have. I will never see that fellow again. He is outside looking for yard sale items, driving around. He saw me, killed time, and moved off. That's about how much faith I had. Guess what he did? He showed up a half hour early with 6 people, filled up a whole row. He said, would it be okay if my son and his girlfriend and all come next week? I went, uh-huh. We had a big day one time. He had 10 people with him. He had 10 people with him, all because he couldn't believe that people were outside working for free, and he couldn't believe we were outside hot and sweaty, because he said, I've never seen a working preacher. And I have no response to that. I don't know what that means. This isn't about me. But we moved, and we got here, and difficulties marching. And then God started doing something remarkable. And the temptation to hide 2 years ago was unbelievable. We made up our minds quickly. One, we weren't going to have the first church of Rodney Sickles. We just weren't going to do it. I wasn't going to get up every week and talk about it, and I didn't. If my count is right, I have given 4 updates in 2 years. If you've asked me, I've told you how I'm doing, but I just wasn't going to do it because this isn't about me. It isn't about me. I'm helping sing. We need somebody male helping lead the singing. But I just as soon not be on stage the whole time. I'm not interested in the cult of Rodney. I'm not interested in personality-driven church. I'm just not. It doesn't really matter if you know my name, but it matters if you know Jesus' name. And so we don't plaster our names on everything. And we do a pretty good job of branding. We don't do that. But I really struggled. But I'm thankful. I'm thankful. I'm thankful you guys loved on our family. Worst thing I went through was not being able to take care of my family. By that I mean, when you're sick, you're sick. You just nothing to do. And they were in agony, and you guys loved on them. You hugged on them. You brought food by. You men took turns getting me back and forth to the dock and those kind of things, and then you swore with a pinky swear that you wouldn't tell how crazy I was after I had all the drugs. And thank you. We got loved on externally. We wrote a note or two, put it online, figured a few hundred people want to keep up with what's going on with us. And last count, the first note anyway, it made about 30,000 laps around and been shared, a 1,000 times, 800 times, and God has seen fit to glorify himself. We adopted a few things. One, we said we're going to be a good cheer. I can't control what's happening to me, but I sure can control what's happening in me. And I choose to respond in joy. God saved me from my sins. God has blessed me. God has prepared a home for me. He didn't need to do any of that, so the rest of it's all gravy. So if it's the last thing I do or the next thing I do for King Jesus, I want to honor him. I want to love him. So I think that's a good way to look at things. And so especially when all the others coming up. So seven years ago. 7 years ago, 2 years ago. And God has seen fit to allow us to continue. It was a dark and stormy night. Tuesday afternoon, nice little PA scared me to death. Wednesday, I had a series of tests. Thursday, doctor hung his head and told me all the bad news. Friday, another test. The Friday afternoon, more bad news. Told you guys on Sunday. Big test on Monday. Worse news on Tuesday. Wednesday week, I was in treatment. I was so certain I was done with ministry and I would see Jesus. And God reminded me, boy, just make these moments last. Let me help you. 2 years later, guess what I want to do? I want to make these moments last. I want to invest in the lives of others. I want to see people come to Jesus. I want to see baby Christians grow into mature Christians. I want mature Christians to learn how to share their faith. I want us to walk in a way that honors Him. And I don't care if anybody knows my name, but I really would like to put the spotlight on King Jesus. I offer you Acts 16. Three ideas. I'm done quickly this morning. Number one, I want you to remember, God wants us to serve with joy. This is going to factor in as we start looking at the church of Ephesus. He's starting these churches now. God wants us to serve with joy. God's not done anything to make you miserable. God saved you from your sins. You're miserable perhaps because of the sin you're allowing in your life. You're miserable because you won't repent of something. You're miserable because you're trying to go, I want a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And I want Jesus here and Jesus that. And God is saying, give me everything. Trust me. Trust me. He says, I want to go here. He says, no, no, I want to go here. No, no. Listen, go here. They're waiting for you here. I get real down out in discouraged. Anybody here ever get discouraged? Defeated, upset, just a few of you. I start thinking about how great God is and how wonderful He is, I get a lot better a lot quicker. But then I start thinking about the people who poured my life. Even the people who were annoying when they did it. You ever been living in sin? You remember that? Living in sin and somebody wouldn't leave you alone? Hey, I'm praying for it. Hey, why don't you come to church? Hey, here's a great verse. And then you're thankful for them later on, right? Thank you that when I acted like a porcupine, you kept trying to hug me. I'm thankful for the people I get to be a little part of their life. A little part of encouraging them. A little part of seeing them and have a little part in that. Man, that is some great stuff. And Paul here is saying that. And Jesus reminds him, hey, man, do this and serve with joy. They heard what God said, and man, off they went. You're there in chapter 9 or chapter 16. Excuse me. Look at verse 10. After they saw the vision, immediately we endeavored to go to Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel. God's in it. Just because there's hardship doesn't mean God's not in it. Just because there's difficulty doesn't mean God's not in it. Everywhere we'd ever served, man, God had kept some things consistently. And as soon as I get here, Joe and Mike and Roy, remember this, as soon as we get here, man, the bottom falls out of the giving. Not just falls out. I mean craters and runs the other way. It's like the federal government was running our finances. It was atrocious. And the leadership was there at the time and said, you can't tell anybody. I said, what do you mean we can't tell anybody? We don't do that here. I said, what are they're gonna figure it out when there's no lights on, right? They're gonna figure it out when they go through Ingles and I'm bagging their groceries. They're gonna figure that out. They'll figure that out. It'll be okay. And so we did that, and so we're about 2 months, 3 months, 4 months behind, and 18,000 real money. And I'm like, man, we got to tell people. So we told everybody, and they lined up going out the back going, why didn't you tell us, preacher? I went, they're mad at me. I'm mad at them. in there. And here we go. Here we go. Moved the family here, and you know, and we you know, holding paychecks and all this kind of business. Hey, serve with joy. God's in it. By the way, God took all that in the middle of a COVID epidemic last year, and you guys set a record for outside missionary giving last year. God turned all that around, and you asked me, two spreadsheets, a PhD in mathematics, a CPA, and the supercomputer from Oak Ridge, and I can't explain to you our finances other than to say, God said, go there and preach, and let me take care of it in a way that He gets all the glory. It isn't because I'm a great fundraiser. It isn't because any of those kind of things. God saw fit last year in the COVID pandemic. Man, we had a trunk or treat, and 500 and some people and almost 225 cars came through here, and we got to give them candy and the gospel. Only God does that. Man, serve with joy. Serve with joy. It's crazy to beat and cajole and all these kind of things. A fellow wrote an article. It was published in one of the major distribution things. He said, what to do when church people ghost the pastor? Now, I'm old. And I went, ghost? What? I looked it up. Oh, when they ignore you. Okay, that's such a better word, ghost, than ignore. Only I'll never get those 5 minutes back. And what do you do? And the guy talking about, you know, you talk to people and you love people. Then, man, they won't even communicate with you. Won't communicate with you. And I read it, and I big tears in my eyes. Because, man, that hurts. Serve with joy. Because I got news for you. Jesus never disappointed you. Somebody say amen. Jesus never leaves. Jesus never forsaken you. Serve with joy. That's what He's doing here. Don't forget, God wants to save people and give them joy. God wants to save people and give them joy. He wants to save religious people and wretched people and normal people. See, we get real honest, we always pick the middle, don't we? Because we know us. I'm awful and I'm terrible and I'm wicked. Now, we'll lie to everybody else, but that's how we feel, isn't it? Man, I've hurt God. I've hurt God's feeling. If we live in deception and denial, then we say, well, I'm just normal. Normal people steal a little. Normal people look at a little pornography. Normal people do a little drinking. Normal people do a little this. They do a little that, do a little lusting. Normal people use a little ugly language. Normal people don't really read their Bible. Normal people. You know what God's wanting to save? God's wanting to save religious people trusting in their works and wretched people who don't have anything to do with God and are shaking their fist at God. And then everybody else who's got a big, great, big bag of excuses, He wants to save them. I don't have the time. Acts 16, that's exactly what He's doing. Whether it's the Philippian jailer, whether it's the folks in prison, whether it's the jailer's family, whether it's the demon-possessed girl, over and over again. See, you preach the gospel because there's all kind of people who need to be delivered from their sins, and God changed their life. See, why God bring you here? Why's God put all these churches in Hardin Valley? Why's God doing that 7 years ago or last year or whatever? Because we get to preach and share the good news of who Jesus is. Man, it's enough to tell people you love, man. I make people feel good. When I've gone on mission trips, things like that, one of the things they'll teach is some version of Jesus loves you, God loves you. Just an easy little thing to say to people, and people put a smile on your face, and God loves you, and then they know you're giving them some type of religious material, again, especially if it's somewhere where speaking Portuguese or something where I don't have an advantage. I know how to have a little bit of conversation in Spanish. And you say this, and you learn Jesus Christ loves you and stuff like that. And you kind of see it, man. I love you. That's good. Jesus loved you. That's better. Jesus loved you in your sin and died on the cross to save you from the penalty of your sin. And He offers to take your sin and give you His righteousness and change your life. And heaven is a beautiful fringe benefit. Man, that's great news. What's He left us here to do? Man, to save people from their sin and give them joy. Does it mean we never have sorrow? Nah. Mean we never have grief? No. I'm scared to death people don't grieve. I'm scared to death people who never feel those kind of things. You know, oh, well, we carry on. What are you, psycho? Man, you just had this loss. You just lost your job, your family situation. What do you mean you're not upset or grieving? Plastic robotic people, just no. Feel it, embrace it, and then take it to God. God, help me. I need you right now. You say, man, my life's a mess. Well, welcome. Welcome. God loves to save people in their messes. Save people in their messes. And I'm done. I'm right on time. And remember, don't forget, God wants us to finish, if you allow, to suffer with joy. Suffer with joy. He says, Philippians 1:27, to walk worthy of the Lord. Those four churches, or those three churches that we're going to look at, and we're going to look at Ephesus next time, starting next time, he uses that same expression over and over and over again. Make sure that you've got that in mind. If you want to write these down, again, the handouts are sitting at my desk at the house. Ephesians 4:11, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. Walk worthy. Colossians 1:10, the church of Colossae, that you might walk worthy, pardon me, of the Lord in all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. 1 Thessalonians 2:12, that you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you into His kingdom in glory. You look at the passage and you look at what He's saying to them. By the way, they're surrounded by hardship and difficulty and what we colloquially call suffering. Suffering. Say, preacher, boy, you really suffered a lot. Let me help you. Let me stop you. I hardly ever use that expression about me. It's just not true. I wasn't thrown in jail for preaching the gospel. I wasn't beaten in a Soviet state for serving Christ. Nowhere close. I'm just a child of Adam who's sick. And in the sickness, we have choices. And in the hardships, we have choices. And in the difficulty, we have choices. And he says, walk worthy. Walk worthy. You say, preacher, I heard all that. Preach the gospel. Man, that's what we're to be about, getting the gospel, inviting people, loving people to Christ, getting in the water with them, so to speak, and helping them understand their difficulty. How do we do that? How do we do that? His first name is Don, I think. Anyway, Dr. Constable, he's written several books and all, and I love his comments on this verse. He says, if you're going to do this, if you're wondering the how, how do I do this? How do I keep Acts 16 in mind? How do I, whatever brought me to the day, how do I do that? How do I do that? He says, you got to keep two things in mind. Number one, you understand there's victory over your circumstances. God is greater than what you're going through. God is greater than what you've been through. God is greater than what's ahead of you. And there is victory. Paul would say in Romans 8 that you are more than conquerors. You're parent overcomers. You are super overcomers. He talks like a teenager. There is victory. You don't have to stay the way you are. You don't have to live the way you are. You don't have to live in the addiction and the habits where you are. There is victory for you. By the way, sometimes everybody understands our minds and our hearts are on different pages, and it takes a little while for our heart to catch up with our head. So I'm not talking about how you feel, but I'm talking about what you can know. And you can know that you have victory. One of the things Jonathan's group meets on Thursday, they continually pray for, man, God help me be consistent. Let me give you something to be consistent about. Remember that if you're a follower of His, you are victorious. And there is present victory over circumstances. And then he says it there. He says, remember, there's future reward. There's future reward. God's keeping score. God's keeping count. God's keeping count. There's future reward. Everybody who sweated and went through it yesterday, doing things. Mike and those guys on top of the brick, hanging the sign. Kept waiting for an OSHA helicopter to show up. And we're going to be on the front page news. Man, they're out there doing all this stuff. All those things. Guys who work behind the scenes and do all the, I'll get in trouble if I start. And all the things that are going on. Some of the believing contractors in town who regularly donate and do things for us. And God's keeping score. God's keeping up with every check you've ever written. God's keeping up with every envelope full of cash you've ever put in. God's keeping up with every electronic giving online. Man, you've ever. God's keeping up with every time you went. Man, I am tired. And I just as soon go to Bedside Baptist this morning. Some of you will think that's funny in a minute. And you go, no, I'm going to get up. I'm going to put on my clothes. I'm going to put on a shrug, a smile. I need it. I need to be around them. They need to be around me. I need to corporately come and praise God and be taught His Word. God's keeping score. See, why does that matter? Here's our text. I'm done. It's the surreal setting. All of reality has come together. The conclusion of all things is wrapping up. And there's a fantastic scene where through ages past are now all assembled. There's been the resurrection from the dead. And the believers in Christ of all centuries are standing surrounding the throne of God. And there are 24 in particular who gain a separate vantage point. It says the 24 elders, the special ones, fall down before Him that sat on the throne, and they worship Him that lives forever and ever. And they get to do something amazing. It says, and they cast their crowns before His throne, saying, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive honor and glory and power and wisdom forever. What you do here, God keeps up with. And there's a day coming when He will say, I'm so proud of you. And then we get to do and say, God, I'm not worthy for these, but You are. Here's this one. Here's that one, and here's the other. Say, how do we do? How do we preach? Because you start living with the idea of heaven, system, or rewards. I'm not working my way to get there. That's what Christ did on the cross. But what Christ did on the cross allows me to do things, and now I love you. Someone colloquially said, we can't take it with us, comma, but we can send it on ahead. I don't want to be empty-handed before my Lord. I don't want to be ashamed at His appearing. I want to have as much as I can. Bring as many people with me as I can. And God, You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy. Paul recognized if you're going to walk worthy, you understand you have as much victory as you apply. And there are heaven system rewards. Is it worth serving Jesus? Yeah. Is it worth moving here? In hindsight, one of the best, easiest decisions we ever did. Been some difficulty, different difficulty than we thought. But the right place to be sick, at the right place to be loved on, at the right place for you to pour in our children. Say, don't make the service about yourself. I don't think I have. I'm trying to preach the gospel. Go where God tells you and be thrilled what God works out and puts together. Say, what's the next ever how long look like? I think it looks like preach the gospel. Reach people with you for Jesus. Tell them the good news. Hold their hand when they're going through hard times. Hug their neck when life is difficult. Rejoice when there's victory. And continue to say, what people need is the Lord. What people need to understand is the gospel. And we do this for King Jesus because He has given us victory and because He is the one who is handing out the rewards that we get to turn around and give back to Him. And that's pretty cool. Would you pray with me right now? We're right on time. Pray with me. Father, Lord, help us. People are fearful and scared and full of calamity and chaos and they're nervous about their health, and they're nervous about the country, and God, our great need is not just for stability, it's not just for confidence, local and state and federal officials. It's not It's not just for peace and security in places like Afghanistan. It's not just that. Lord, what we need, what people need is to know Jesus. What people need is to be saved from their sin. And so, God, with all these other things, may we not forget the main thing. And so would you help us, I pray. Would you remind us? And God, as we just pause this morning in a little personal, how I pray, we would be about sharing, that's the word there, sharing the gospel, giving out the good news, sharing our story like Jeff and Bill have done these past weeks. I pray you'd help us. Lord, we're not the center of our stories. You are. And Lord, this church is not about a building. It's about its people. And so help us, I pray. Father, thank you. Lord, thank you that Thank you that 2 years ago, I was pretty sure I was ticking off the last of many things I would ever do here. Thank you that 2 years later, I got to stand up here this morning and tell these folks I love them and the best news that Jesus loves. Thank you for the privilege to keep doing this. For you, we pray in your son's name. Would you just keep your head bowed for just a second? Here's what I'd like you to do. Would you thank God with me this morning? Would you thank God with me that he started a church here 31 years ago at the Webb School? Would you thank God that there's been three pastors? Would you thank God that there have been just a number of people made professions of faith here, that there have been folks called out of here to serve him? Would you thank God with me this morning for the opportunities that we have, and what he has done, the miracles he has wrought? Would you do that with me this morning? And if you're here today and this rings true to you and you go, you know, there's never been a time and a place and a point in my life where I've asked Jesus to save me from my sins and him to change my life, would you, before you leave today, make sure of that? Would you make sure that you know he's your Lord and Savior? Would you do that today? And if you have any questions, you say, well, I'm a pretty good guy, but I don't know what I understand. You're talking about wretched people and all this. Today is your day. Today is the day God's knocking on your heart's door and saying, this is for you. This is for you to listen to. And you may have to swallow some pride. You may have to back up because everybody thinks you're okay. But God's dealing with you, and today is your day. And I want to invite you to respond to him and follow him as he is leading you to your next step. And I ask you to do that. And for those of you who are thankful, then would you pray, God, help me to work. Help me to serve. Help me to live for you. Because I believe healthy things, the best days are always ahead. And so God, help me to be invested, to be a part of, to serve with joy you here at Hardin Valley. Give out, declare, share, preach the gospel. What folks really need is to know who they are and who God is and what God did for them and what God wants to do for them. The gospel. So, Father, we commit this to you and we ask you to help us. Thank you for letting me be a little personal this morning. I pray it in your son's name. And amen. Amen. Thank you so much. And again, I just really sometimes awkward being personal. I don't like doing that. But if you allow this, you know, once or four times in 2 years, I appreciate it. Again, I would never. This is not a place of therapy or anything like that. So but I believe we honored God through His Word this morning. So thank you, and thank you for being our family, really and truly. Thank you for being our family these years now, and what a privilege it is to serve God together here at Hardin Valley. And thank you so much. Can I give you a couple of quick announcements here? And you still listening to me? Again, I do apologize. It was a perfectly good handout sitting at home because I'm old. So that's my bad. Don't forget, if you got a program or something, do this for me. Continue to pray. It's going to get worse, much worse, before it gets any better in Afghanistan. And the girls, in particular, and the ladies are just it's bad. And so pray for them, and then I hope you do that. And there's a lot of believers. I forget exactly the time difference. I think it's already happened, but a lot of believers knew if they assembled, they were going to basically scream to the Taliban where they're located, Christians. And so pray for them. They are meeting and worshiping God at their own peril, much like Egyptian believers did in the last 20 years ago. So pray for them. Pray for them if you don't mind, and continue to do that. And as we have things to share with you, we will do that. Thank you to everyone who helped and gave and served and climbed on top of the brick out there. Did anybody notice the new sign on the brick? Anybody notice it? How many of you will look for it on the way out? And so what's the I got advertising people in here. It's 21 days, right? At 21 days, you go blind to things, right? You can't see them. You can't see cobwebs or anything like that. It's something like that, isn't it? Just nod at me. I think I'm close anyway. And so some of you are like, what sign? What brick? What driveway? Okay. All right. Just, again, take your medicine when you go home, not before church. But as you leave, look to your left and you'll see. We're so thankful for those who helped and did other things around, did some stuff and all like that. Is tremendous. Thank you for that. 9:05, the first Sunday in September, we'll have a dinner on the grounds kind of thing, have games and stuff. This will be a great time to invite somebody. That's coming up in a couple weeks. There's a college basket out there that if you want to bring some crackers or some wafers or some gift cards or some shampoo or some foot deodorant, I don't really care what you want to do, but a notebook or some paper, bring that. And we've got a college student starting next week, and they'd appreciate anything. If you just want to write a little note, say, I'll pray for you every weekday as you're in class, that you'll be faithful, Lord, that would be a very good thing to do. Make sure you write that down as well. And so we're glad. Let's see, Piper's in the back there, but Piper's birthday is today. Make sure you hug and squeeze on her. And then the 26th is Mama Jean's birthday, right? Yeah, Mama Jean's birthday. Yeah, I was going to say look for the purple, but anyway, yeah, she's right here. And so we've got some goodies in the back. And so she's going to be traveling, seeing some extended travel, seeing some family. And so we won't see her for a few weeks. But anyway, we wanted to recognize her today. Do you mind if I tell everybody you're going to turn 80? She's been telling everybody. So 80 years young, and that deserves a cupcake and those kind of things. Yeah, you want to clap for her? Yeah, that's good, yeah. We want to do that, and then we'll go outside. And then Dawn sent a note last night. I saw it this morning. And anyway, many of you have been praying for Jeff Ward and Jeff's family, and Jeff's dad had been sick, and so they got news last night that Jeff's dad had passed away, and we want to pray for them. They're new to our church. Many of you have gotten to know them a little bit, and God's doing neat things in their life. And Jeff's got a good attitude, even though he's moving. And I just been grumpy for him because it makes me mad to think about moving. And in the middle of all this, and God strategically put us here now to love on them and hold their hand as they go through this. So I want us to do that. I want us to rejoice in 80 years of life. And I want us to pray for Jeff. and love on him. Can we do that right now? Can we do that? If wherever you are, would you just stand with us and let's be, we'll be dismissed in a word of prayer, but I want us to pray. And we, like I said, we've got some goodies out there for you. Let's do that. And some of you may want to just, where you are, I mean, you just want to maybe eyeball one of these two, Miss Mama Jean or Jeff, and let's pray together. Would you do that with me right now? Lord, marking time and going through the motions is not what we're called to do. And God, we get this great privilege to do life together. And to be really happy with one another and for one another, and to be really sad for one another. And to remind one another and exhort one another and encourage and upbraid and reprove and all those things. And that's all part of doing life together. And we get to, in these moments, and so we pray for Jeff and Dawn, for his family, and Lord, as they grieve, would you just wrap your arms around them? And help them know they're loved and they're precious. And they're not alone. And so be with them, Lord. And I pray that they would know that in the very depths of their soul. And so God, help us. Help us in these moments to do that. To be the arms and feet of Jesus. And we're so thankful. We're so thankful for markers, whether it's a holiday or Christmas or an anniversary or a birthday. Just a notation, a stutter point to remind us of how special our lives are because you created us. Thank you for the infectious joy and enthusiasm, Lord, it is to be around Mama Jean. Thank you for the delight she has been to get to know these months. Bless her, Lord, and we celebrate with her. And may you put that asterisk on her life, Lord, of sola gloria, all glory to God. And we thank you for her. Her family and her daughter and her son, which we've been able to meet. And I just pray you bless her and help her. And for many in here, Lord, that I don't have the liberty to disclose all they're going through, we bring our burdens to you. And we realize that the gospel is enough for our burdens. And your grace is more than enough for our burdens. And whatever we're going through and whatever is ahead, God, you are bigger than any obstacle or problem that we have. So thank you. And God, publicly, I thank you for steering us to Knoxville. And I thank you for how you have met every need and answered every prayer according to your good will. And hopefully you have been glorified in these months and years here. And Lord, as long as you give us breath, and as long as you allow us, help us as a church family to continue to give and share and announce and declare the good news of who you are and what you've done. So we thank you. Be with us. Meet our needs. And help us to give you glory for that. I pray it in your wonderful and precious name. And amen. Amen. There's goodies right outside there. If you don't have to, don't rush off. Say hello to folks and then greet these we mentioned. Let them know you're praying for them and you love them. So we got some goodies outside. Yeah, no, no. Thank you. Well, praise the Lord. Let's get us. I think we got the right stuff. Let me cut my mic off here. Hey, buddy. Love you, man.